Good morning. Today's reading comes from James 1, verses 17 through 27. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness of God that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Bless the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of James. James is one of the last epistles or letters in the New Testament. But it's probably more helpful to think of James in the way that we think of wisdom literature. So things like the Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs. Because unlike other epistles that we've read this summer, this letter isn't trying to teach the church how to be a better church. The purpose of this letter is to teach Christians how to apply Jesus' wisdom to their daily lives. The portion of the letter that we read for this morning introduces perhaps the most famous theme in James, that of the importance of taming our tongues. For James, we have to do this because how we speak to one another says a lot about the God we worship. We are to be slow to speak, and when we do speak, we should think carefully about what we're about to say, so that we don't create a stumbling block for someone else who is trying to encounter Jesus. Another reason that it's important for us to hold our tongues is because this helps us manage our anger. It is hard to do what God is calling you to do when you're so angry you can't see straight. Also, when you're that angry, it's really easy to walk in the ways of the world unknowingly. Another theme that happens throughout this letter is James kind of compares and contrasts the ways of the world and the ways of God. And if we aren't careful, we could unintentionally be following the ways of the world, particularly when those ways exist in competition with the ways of God. One practice that we probably, at least I know I, all participate in, is making assumptions about why other people act the way that they do. It's actually impossible to know what someone else is thinking unless you ask them. But even if you ask them and they share with you what they're thinking, we always interpret what other people are saying through the lens of our own experience. Which which means sometimes we assign judgments to what other people say that aren't necessarily there. This past week, I learned an important lesson about the dangers of making assumptions, of acting before listening. When a group of my friends and I headed to First Presbyterian Church of Duquesne to participate in a service project at their community garden. Before we began our project of staining a shed and a ramp, Farmer Scott gathered us all together for a tour of the garden. The tour began with Farmer Scott pointing across the street from the church to a building that had been boarded up. This building also had a for sale sign in the window. This building was a Family Dollar store, Farmer Scott told us. The dollar store had to close about a year ago because people were stealing and they couldn't afford to stay open. The closure of this Family Dollar store was really devastating for the people of Duquesne because it was the only place in all of Duquesne that residents could walk to get basic groceries. With Family Dollar gone, Duquesne is now considered a food desert, meaning residents do not have access to reliable food supply in their neighborhood. In the winter of 2018, First Presbyterian Church of Duquesne had a session meeting to discuss a very important issue, grass cutting. For the last 10 years, a crew of church elders had this kind of rotating list where they would trade off responsibilities for cutting the acre and a half of land that First Pres was responsible for maintaining. But their session wanted their pastor to know that none of them are spring chickens anymore, and it was becoming cumbersome to cut an acre and a half of land that the church used twice a year. Once for their annual chili cook-off, and once for vacation Bible school. Their pastor, Pastor Judy, who I love and is this dreamer, she always has these really great ideas, she told her session, hey, why don't we plant a garden in kind of the flat area of our property and, you know, see if we can grow anything. That way, you all won't have to cut so much grass, and the community could use the land more than twice a year. And, you know, if we manage to grow anything, let's just give it all away so we don't have to worry about changing our tax codes or anything along those lines. Like most of Judy's good ideas, this one quickly took on a life of its own. By the spring of 2019, First Pres had gotten seed money from Grow Pittsburgh to start their garden. They even found this adorably weird and wacky graduate student named Farmer Scott, who was willing to lead the project for almost no money. But before they planned anything, Farmer Judy insisted that they get out into the neighborhood and they ask their neighbors what they wanted from a community garden. What they found really surprised them. Residents wanted education. Many of them did not know how to garden, and many of them also had no idea how to cook the exotic fruits and vegetables that they wanted to grow, things like kale and pumpkin and butternut squash. Many of the residents also wanted access. So many of the people that live right outside of Duquesne are senior citizens. So we're talking about older knees and hips and backs. So they wanted raised flower beds so that they didn't have to bend as far when they were tending their plot. Other people in the community weren't interested in gardening at all. They just wanted a chance to plant some flowers and bring a little bit of beauty and color into their homes. Visiting this garden at First Pres reminded me of the importance of listening to people before you make assumptions about what's best for them. Had Pastor Judy and her team of gardeners not listened to their neighbors, nobody from the neighborhood would use this garden. Yes, it is absolutely more time-consuming to listen before you act. But oftentimes when you listen, you discover things about your neighbors and your community that change how you view them. And 9 times out of 10, the final product is better than the one that you had originally imagined. Another thing I learned from my visit to the community garden is the importance of turning listening into action. If you are somebody like my friend, Pastor Judy, who has a lot of great ideas about how to make the world a better place, it's really easy to get stuck in the hoping and dreaming phase of planning and never quite get to the getting out there, taking a leap of faith and breaking ground phase of the project. Scripture does compel us to listen. But it then compels us to take what we learned in our listening and turn it into concrete action in our neighborhoods. A final and perhaps most important thing that I learned from my visit to the garden is that we're going to have to get creative in how we care for our widows and our orphans in this vaccinated phase of the pandemic. Part of the reason that this garden is so popular is because it's a safe activity for seniors and children to participate in together. It's outdoors. The flower beds are about 6 feet long, and the garden can only have a certain number of people in it at a time. Now, I am certain when Pastor Judy and the session of First Pres met back in 2018, they were not trying to plan a socially distanced activity to take place during a global pandemic. None of us in positions of leadership, whether we're pastors or community farmers, really know what it means to live with this virus long term. We're all kind of fumbling around in the dark until we accidentally stumble upon what God is up to in our midst. And we try our best to follow God into the unknown. And generally, if something is drawing people into deeper relationship with Jesus and with their neighbors, this is a God thing, not a we did a great job thing. While our lives look very different than the world James inhabited, I think we can take some lessons from our text today and apply them to our lives. The first thing we need to ask ourselves is, what is one thing that is happening in my neighborhood that I want to make a little bit better? It can be as simple as wanting to kind of raise the standards of our neighborhood fire department annual cookie sale fundraiser. It can be as complicated as deciding to run to serve on the board of your local school district. Once you've identified the thing that you want to make better, you have to kind of go out into the neighborhood and see how your neighbors feel about the change you're proposing. Maybe when you're talking to your neighbors, you discover that there are a lot of people on your block that have a nut allergy. So maybe this is the year you try to make a nut-free cookie for the bake sale. Maybe you decide that you want to serve on your local school board, but maybe you start asking parents, hey, what is it that you need from school so that your kids can do better? And maybe you have these conversations before you adopt policies aimed at making school better for more kids. Friends, however you decide to listen, and whatever you decide to do, know that none of this is possible apart from God. Without God, there is really nothing else to say, because people can only give what they first received from God. Oftentimes, when we set out to make our communities better for the next generation, we're really just getting in on what God is already doing. If we believe that God is always active in our lives and in our communities, then our job isn't to lead as much as it is to follow. knowing that God is already out ahead of us, patiently waiting for us to catch up. As followers of Jesus, it is not up to us to fix everything that is wrong in the world. That's God's job. And that will only happen when Jesus returns. Until that time, we will see glimpses of the kingdom of God unfolding in our midst. And when we do what we can to hasten the day of God's kingdom come. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.